Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., joined by our one and only Emil Fragoso, Sactown Sports 49ers Insider. Emil, how are you doing? How was your vacay?
It was really chill. I didn't really do much, just watch football. There's only a few Sundays in a season, because I cover football, that I get to like actually enjoy football as a fan. And it was an enjoyable one yesterday, even though the first few hours was a bunch of poop-vecta games.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Just like terrible quarterback play. Maybe Tom was right.
Were you? Well, yeah. We'll get into that as well. So, real quick, where were you at with, and I don't know if you saw the turf wars yesterday about the Raiders game being played instead of Eagles-Bills. Did you see that?
I did.
What were your thoughts on that?
It's just local market dumb things they did. Put on the good games.
You're against having Chiefs-Raiders on yesterday.
Yeah. Like, especially when it's a blowout. Like, at the end.
It wasn't a blowout until the end.
I get it, but, like, for Northern California especially, the more important game is Philadelphia-Buffalo. That's just a more important game.
I think that's
Northern
a
California.
Broad statement, though.
It is, though. You can't look at the Raiders and be like, yeah, that's the more important game.
To me, number one, we're acting like the Raiders have one win. Technically, the Raiders should have won yet. They could still be in the
sure,
hunt.
Sure.
Going into it.
And a hope and a prayer they make the postseason. Who would have thought?
But they were 5-6. They weren't, right? We're not talking about a one-win team. It's just funny to me that this game and this time was when people were so up in arms. And it's not like it's the Seahawks. Right, it's not like it's the Seahawks. Yeah. It's in your division. We're talking about the Eagles in Week 12.
Yeah, I know. I get it, but I also would preferred them to move Eagles Niners to the primetime game.
That's what Chris was saying. Like, that's better. That's a better.
Yeah,
to me, that's a more realistic conversation than getting on Raiders fans. We've already have a rough go. You lost the A's.
You're talking to one.
You're talking to
a Raider fan. I still didn't want to watch that game.
Know.
And I didn't watch that game.
A Raider fan would not say that. I don't know, we gotta pull your fan card.
We always lose the Chiefs. We always lose the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
Not worth watching that game.
I don't know about that. All right, let's get to, I guess, your non-fan team, the Niners. Yes. And, you know, not too much to talk about with the Seahawks here. It was a shellacking. They ate turkey legs. And they did what I thought that they would do against the Seahawks, because I'm not very high on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I know the week isn't over, week 12 isn't over, but it's Eagles week now. Hassan Reddick already talking that trash. We got that quote as well. A lot of conversations about the Eagles and, I guess, the luck. My question to you, when you look at some of the penalties that the Eagles are getting away with and all these close games and people dropping passes, does it feel like the Niners fan base is maybe underestimating the Eagles?
No. I think they're optimistically confident.
Okay.
That they can avenge what happened in the championship game, and that Brock Purdy won't get hurt again, and they can at least have a competitive game against Philadelphia. I do think Philadelphia is probably their toughest task of the season. There's a reason why they are 10-1. They just find a way to win these games. They're kind of the antithesis of the Niners. Mm-hmm. They win all the gritty, grimy games, whereas the Niners, they blow everybody out.
Yeah.
And when they have the gritty, grimy games, they lose them.
Yeah.
It's opposite for the Eagles. They can't blow teams out. They have to come back from behind. They have to have some hurdle they got to overcome. And that's fine. They win their games. And that's why I think this is going to be a real big test this week of which side is going to win out. Who's going to be more physical? Who's going to really claw and scratch their way? Is it going to be the Niners going in and getting up early? Or will the Eagles come back and establish their dominance? Because we do know the Eagles, when they like to be physical and have that tush-push, they use it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, just in general, how do you feel about we were just talking before the mics turned on about the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
How do you feel how that's just shaking out in general? It feels like Jalen Hurts every week is you know, just bolstering his MVP case while not having, you know, otherworldly stats. I mean, he's getting the touchdowns, which I guess is the leading reason why. And of course, his team is incredibly successful. But just what have been your thoughts on the MVP conversation? And do you feel like anyone's kind of being left out?
Look, in terms of Jalen Hurts, he should have won it last year. So this feels like kind of a makeup for him this year.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts was fantastic. He's also the first quarterback to have 10-plus rushing touchdowns in three consecutive seasons in NFL history. That's significant. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible, talented quarterback, and he's a winner, and that's kind of where they're at right now, is that Philadelphia is not losing games. But who's being left out of the conversation, with the Niners especially? Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy, both those guys. Because you just look at the stats, you look at Brock Purdy's stats, they're similar to all these guys, Mahomes and Hurts and all of them. He's throwing it really, really well. It's just that it's the whole operation of he has McCaffrey, Ayuk, Debo. That's why he gets short-sighted, because he's the last pick in the draft, he's not going to get. I know you've talked about this, Alan, about how it's not good for business to have a guy like Brock Purdy to win it. It's more fun for them to have Jalen and the comeback story and all that stuff. So I do think those guys are being left off, but I think Jalen Hurts is the front runner right now because of how well the Eagles are playing.
What would McCaffrey have to do to get into, like, at the end of the season, what would his numbers have to look like, you think?
By the way, what I've seen so far, McCaffrey, the most updated I saw going into yesterday, McCaffrey was sixth in MVP odds, and Brock Purdy was ninth, by the way.
And it makes sense. McCaffrey is night and day probably their most valuable player, just in terms of all-around offensive scheme. What he does, again, 25 touchdowns in 20 games played for the Niners is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous numbers. A guy who previously in Carolina had issues staying on the field, now has not missed a game for the Niners since he joined them. It's incredible what he's able to do, and the bumping and bruising. I don't know if you guys saw Olivia Culpo's Instagram story after the game. That dude was beat up. Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness. But no, McCaffrey is a special, special talent. What had to happen for him, just looking at his stats, his best year came in 2019 with Carolina, where he had almost 2,400 yards in scrimmage. He had to break that, in my opinion, for him to really have a chance at MVP. And that's just a number that's almost impossible to even fathom.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the Eagles and they've had some injuries, obviously right now the Niners are 2.5 point favorites, right? Which is a little bit surprising.
On the road in Philadelphia.
How nervous should, I guess, Niner fans be about the Eagles? Because I'll be honest with you. When I look at this Niners team and I see the weapons that they have, which is part of the reason Brock Purdy isn't as high up as some people would like, I like Darius Slay. I like some of the guys that the Eagles have. But the Eagles have won games against teams that have obvious holes. Josh Allen and the Bills have not been on the same page. That ended up happening in the end zone with Gabe Davis.
Yep.
The Chiefs, right? Their receivers, they don't have a number one. I don't even know if they have a number two wide receiver, right? That came back to bite them in the butt.
Yeah.
The Niners, okay, you're going to lock down McCaffrey. You're going to stack the box, and you're going to take away Ayuk. You still got to deal with Debo. You still got to deal with George Kittle. I'm be honest with you, Emil, and I'm not trying to be a homer here. I don't know how the Niners don't win this football game.
Wow.
I really don't, unless it's rainy and mucky and
which
ugly.
It might be again. I've heard some weather reports already.
When I look at these two teams from what I've seen, we still haven't played our best ball. Well, Eagles, when are you going to do it? I don't think it's going to be against the Niners. Because they're the best team you've probably played all season.
Yeah, they probably are. And I will flip it a little bit and say, I don't think the Niners win this game.
Wow. Okay.
I think they're kind of the Freddy Krueger of the Niners right now. Until I see it happen, I'm not going to believe it because this is the team that haunts them, both personnel as well as the fan base of like, we got to get this back. We got to win this game. Yes, they had that big win over Seattle. They got their lick back first time since 2014. They won on Thanksgiving against their rivals. But now it's a different thing. And if Lane Johnson, who didn't play in the game against Buffalo, if he's day to day and healthy and ready to go against them week 13, it's just going to be tough to stop them. They always lose in the game of trenches against the Eagles because their offensive line is so talented. And the Niners' offensive line is decent, especially with Trent Williams there, but it's not on the level of the Eagles. And I think that's going to be a problem because you're going to have to keep George Kittle in to protect against guys like Hassan Reddick and guys like Jordan Davis and all.
You don't want Charlie Werner blocking Hassan Reddick?
No, I don't. We saw that happen last time. I love you, Charlie. Love you, Dwelly. Love you guys. You're awesome. But respectfully, Hassan Reddick's a different beast, and we saw that against NFC Championship game. I think it'll be a much closer game than it was in the championship, obviously. But I do think the Eagles, and I said it yesterday on Twitter, I said, they just find a way to win. It doesn't matter how they do it. They just find a way to win. And the Niners don't do that.
But we were just talking about Warriors-Kings. That's different. The Kings have lost to the Warriors fully loaded, not fully loaded. The Niners literally did not have their quarterback. So to me, it's a different type of bugaboo than, they mentally got us. We can't get over the hump. The Niners thinking, we never even played you with our real squad. That's what the Niners are feeling like. So that's why, I don't know, that's why I'm just confident that the Niners are going to take care of business.
And maybe so. Maybe I'm eating crow on next Monday, and I hope that's true because I want to see them get this monkey off their back. Because if they get this monkey off their back, there's no stopping them.
Parade.
This is kind of
Santa Clara.
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say there's still the rest of the season, but for the rest of the regular season, this is kind of their big game of, like, can we go on the run after this? They kind of need this game to establish it, and I know Philly winning against Buffalo does not make this a winner-take-all in the NFC race, but it still allows them to have the bragging rights over Philadelphia going into the postseason, whether that's the one seed or the two seed. So they do need this game. I just have to see it with my own eyes first how they're going to do it.
You talk about the battle in the trenches and how, I mean, the Eagles have dominated that battle and had ended up winning the games because of it.
Yeah.
But you look at the Niners since the bye week, they have 15 sacks in the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the defensive line and getting to the quarterback is a huge part of the Niners' defensive success. Do you think the Niners, I mean, with all that they've invested into that defensive line, is it good enough to get to the quarterback enough to make Jalen Hurts struggle on Sunday? And if they don't, mm-hmm. what does that say about how they've tried to build out that defense? Like, is that, like, if it doesn't work against the Eagles, have they kind of allocated all of these assets to the defensive line when maybe they shouldn't have, if that makes sense? Because overall, if you're spending so much on the defensive line mm-hmm. and that awesome, incredible defensive line still isn't good enough to get it done against the team that you have to beat to mm-hmm. get over the hump.
Yeah.
Well, then what were you doing when it comes to team building, if that makes sense?
No, it does. And that's the real question, is building strength on strength of the Niners. Their whole strength in the bread and butter of the defense is getting to the quarterback. And I think they will at least get two sacks against Jalen Hurts. But the problem is that the Niners have struggled against mobile quarterbacks for the last 3 years. They just always struggle. Whenever quarterbacks are able to extend plays and use their legs to extend it, they kind of fold a little bit, especially on the back end. Mm. They're lax on their coverage. They let guys get open. You saw that big Devonta Smith catch last year. Mm. It happens. And so I do think that Jalen Hurts' ability to extend plays and be mobile and make the most out of a bad situation is going to be what kind of tips the scale a little bit.
Gotcha.
But again, if the Niners get home, it could be a whole different game.
That's Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports 49ers Insider. Emil, thank you for joining us as always.
We will
talk to you next week and see if we're celebrating a Niners win or not.
We'll see.
All righty, got to get to a break. When we get back, it's Draymond time. He's talking about the atmosphere for tomorrow's game and whether or not he regrets putting Rudy Gobert in a chokehold. I'll let you guess that one. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Thank you to Emil Fragoso for stopping by as we break down Niners, Eagles. It is Eagles week. I know Niner fans are looking forward to that. It's a huge week, actually, and I think Carmichael Dave had a post about it, because you have Warriors-Kings tomorrow night. You have Cowboys-Seahawks, which is just, you know, good. For a Thursday game, I'll take it. And then Saturday, you have, is it all the college championships?
Yeah, college championships.
ACC, SEC. You have Alabama-Georgia. Alabama, that crazy pass, by the way, on 4th and 10 or whatever it
36,
was.
36, I think it was like 4th and 35.
Yeah, it was insane. It was
something crazy.
4th and goal. It was crazy. That was fun. So Saturday, we'll have a lot for you as well. And then, of course, Sunday, you have Niners-Eagles. So just a fully loaded sports slate. And it's already starting, Chris. You know, it's Warriors week here. It's not a whole week because they play Tuesday, but it's Warriors week here on Sacktown Sports, 916. You know the number, 916-339-1140. And it's already coming in from the 925. Rivalry? Question mark?
Oh,
yeah, a one-sided rivalry. It's good for NorCal. Keep talking.
Okay.
It's Warriors week here. It's Warriors week.
I just can't believe that they're still trying to act like they don't care about us more than
That's the funny thing. You texting in 925 to a Sacramento station that talks Kings is you admitting that it is a rivalry.
Yeah.
I don't think you're checking in to the New Orleans Pelicans flagship.
Definitely not.
And
the Lakers.
And
you know,
texting
even
in or the Lakers, it is a rivalry. Like we said, Alabama-Auburn. Alabama was 8, okay?
Yeah.
Auburn wasn't even ranked of 5 and 6 or something like that. It was still rocking. I don't get the rivalry has to be a back-and-forth winning thing.
To me,
I never understood that.
It's about the people in the town,
yes,
right? Like, it's about, you know, I think they're like North Dakota and North Dakota State or South Dakota. I'm sure those are one-sided rivalries,
right,
but they still consider it a rivalry because they're close.
Right.
It's how it happens. It's, you know, nobody – it's more about the fact that you go to work every day and you run into Warrior fans and you get to talk trash to them back and forth. And the Warrior side of the rivalry is they get to act like it's not a rivalry and they get to sun you.
Part of
that
it
doesn't make it any less of a rivalry. Yes. It still makes it into something that clearly has elevated or escalated feelings and emotions heading into the game. I think it's as clear and simple as that. If there is some sort of added importance that's not just a surface level or a in-season tournament adding importance to, like, I think that's a rivalry. And to me, this is definitely a rivalry.
Here's a question. For any of you double agents out there listening, okay, you Warrior fans, you double agent Warrior fans that are listening, the question is this, okay? When the Warriors are playing, I will maybe put the Lakers there. But when the Warriors are, let's say you have something that you could be doing tomorrow night, and maybe your daughter has practice, right? And one of you got to take the daughter, right? Maybe you got ballet practice or soccer practice or something like that. The Warriors got the Pelicans. You know what, sweetie? It's okay. I'll take her in.
Not that big of a deal.
Warriors have the Mavericks. You know what, honey? I'll take her in. It's okay. I guarantee you.
Yep.
You guys are flipping a coin or rock, paper, scissors to see who has to take your daughter to soccer or ballet practice tomorrow night because it's the Kings.
Yeah.
So just stop it.
Yes.
It's ridiculous now. It's ridiculous.
I don't know what's – yeah,
you're
I mean, I completely
in to
agree
tell
with
us
you.
It's like, not a rivalry.
I think that they're just – in like they still think like they're – I mean, you know, rightfully so. They're only a couple years removed from competing deep into playoff series, but they still feel like there's teams that are, you know, of a different class that you know, they view more as their peers when, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's, to me, it's incredibly clear and obvious. And the fact that they keep trying to say they're not, to me, feels like you're trying to deny.
It's a troll job.
It's a troll job.
It's
like
a troll job.
You're just lying to yourself.
Yeah, and I think location plays a huge part of
that's
this.
That's all of it.
Right? I mean,
that's really all
the question with the Grizzlies, I mean, they were not only just talking about the war, they were calling themselves a dynasty, a lot of different things. That was because it's just randomly Memphis, that needed legs to keep going. Yeah. You needed more charcoal. You needed more flame
that's
to the
a
fire,
fad.
Right? Or it's going to go away.
Exactly.
You all know somebody, whether you're a double agent, whether you're a Kings fan listening right now, Sacktown Sports, 1000 Watkins, you all know somebody that's a Kings fan.
Mm-hmm.
You all know somebody that's a Warriors fan. And that adds to it because it's all about bragging rights. Your local high school, if you, the crosstown rivalry, whether that team is trash, right, it's still a rivalry because if they ever do beat you, they're going to have bragging rights because you all know people that go to that school. You could have went to that school, but you live on the other side of the district, right? That's all it is. So, Simone, let's get to this sound on Draymond talking about the atmosphere for tomorrow's game.
A lot of fun. Think it'll be a lot like Game 7, you know, the atmosphere, just people, the excitement, the angst. I think the feeling that I'm expecting is that it'll feel like a Game 7. Can never be so certain until you get in the game and actually feel the environment, because some people, you know, you go into something thinking like, oh, it's going to be this thing, and like, people react to things differently. You never know how somebody's going to react to something. Like, some people get nervous and they get quiet. Some people get nervous and they start yelling. Like, you know, and so I think people react to things differently, and you can never be so certain. But what I expect it to be a very fun environment to play in.
Would he be saying that if they were playing the Oklahoma City Thunder? You know, would they be saying, like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, would he be saying, I expect a Game 7 environment in Minnesota?
No.
No. Because,
this is not because of the in-season tournament.
No, it's not. It's because of the fact that these teams have now it might be short, but there is a history of this team. They've now played each other, I can't even do the math, but
what, a lot.
12 times in the last 25 games or something insane like that. This clearly means more, and Draymond clearly is also expecting this to mean more than just your run-of-the-mill game. And I don't think it's going to be a Game 7, like I said earlier, but I think it's going to be very, very high energy to start that game. I think you're going to see as close to a playoff atmosphere as you're going to get in the NBA in general I think you're going to get it leading into that game on Tuesday. I really think that the energy is going to be there. I think it's the fact that the in-season tournament's on the line, but it's mainly the fact that it's going to be against the Warriors and Draymond's coming back as well. I definitely think that that environment's going to be nuts tomorrow. So Draymond's got that right, at least.
Yes, it's going to be something else. And on top of that, Draymond did not play. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, Draymond did not play. He was in the building and got the Jumbotron, and he got booed immediately. But Draymond did not play when the Warriors came to town at the beginning of the season. So you got that going as well. I think everybody's going to be raring to go. And to your point, the Warriors tend to use the Kings as a palate cleanser, right? And the Warriors have been playing better as of late, but they still have a lot of foundational issues going on.
Definitely.
And they just say, okay, well, at least we know we can still beat the Kings whenever we want. And I hate to sound disrespectful like that.
No, they feel comfortable.
I think that's what they, you know, okay. I feel like if the Warriors lose tomorrow night, then it would be real panic, because the Kings are the team that, no matter how hot the Kings have been, no matter how cold the Warriors have been, you put your big boy pants on and you take care of business against your little bros.
Yeah.
And if the Warriors aren't able to get this done, I think we send them back to the Bay Area with a lot of question marks, because it could be used very similar to Niners Seahawks. Okay, are you real contenders or pretenders? And I think both teams are trying to answer that question. And if you look at the strength of each other's schedules and the wins that they have, the Kings have played much better than the Warriors. The problem is the Warriors just get to hold over the Kings' head that we beat you head to head.
Exactly.
So all that other stuff, you can make yourself feel good however you want. But when we come head to head,
we know what time it is.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that will be an interesting thing. We also have some sound from Draymond that we're going to get to after the break here, as he talks about the chokehold and whether or not on Rudy Gobert, whether or not he feels bad about it. We'll get to that and much more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. It's Warriors week here as we get ready for Kings Warriors in-season tournament. Will the Kings take down the Warriors and win their group and head over to the knockout rounds? Will the Warriors continue doing what they've been doing? It will be electric in the building. Thank you to Emil Fragoso, who joined us 30 minutes ago to talk some Niners, our Sactown Sports 49ers insider, as we break down the Draymond quotes, the gift that keeps on giving. It's just a week of villains here. You have the Eagles, who everybody can't stand. The Eagles and Sirianni, he's talking trash to everybody. You have Draymond. It is just a crazy week here if you are a fan.
Dare we call it a rivalry week?
I would say that.
Hold on.
I would say that. Rivalry week here at Sactown Sports.
I can barely say it, but
I'm saying it. Here we go. 916-339-1140. Here we go on the text line from the 530. We've heard from Warriors fans, and here is the retort. From the 530, they're just jealous because we've always, in all caps, had a strong fan base. Early 2000s, Oracle was all purple when we played there, .. Warriors fans are trash. Keep it coming.
Yeah.
Just keep it coming.
Just build on it.
Yeah.
Just build on it. Because, I mean, you know, I love my city. I love this team. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely say that there was definitely a period of time where the Kings sucked and the Warriors didn't. And Sleep Train Arena / Golden 1 Center was looking a little blue and yellow. So I will, you know,
not to call him out.
That typically happens.
No, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
And Simone, you can hop in here too.
Okay.
Do you know anyone, you don't have to call him out by name, do you know anyone that was rocking with you back in the day with Bibby, with White Chocolate, with Chris Webber, with Stojakovic, with Vladdy? They were rocking with you. And then all of a sudden, just a couple years go by, right? Kings start to struggle. They fall off. And all of a sudden, that friend that you had all of a sudden has got a Steph Curry jersey. That friend that you had all of a sudden is We Believe. That friend that you had all of a sudden, you know, I have a cousin that was a Warriors fan, and I've always kind of liked the Warriors. Do you know a flip-flopper, Chris? Simone, do you know a flip-flopper? You don't got to call him out.
Personally, no, I don't.
Okay.
Because they would definitely be no friend of mine. I would definitely not categorize them as a friend if that's how they decided to act in their day-to-day life. But, I would not say anyone, like, immediately that I could say, oh, yeah, my buddy here. But it was definitely a couple Sacramentans. Nobody who was a real fan, I would say, did that. No.
Okay.
Like, there might have been an occasional, like, I mean, when the Kings were good, I was in, you know, like first grade in kindergarten. Yeah. So, of course, maybe there were a couple people who were rocking, you know, Bibby jerseys as a
And all of a sudden they're in the closet. Now they're back out the closet.
Now they're rocking Steph jerseys. But no one in my immediate circle. Absolutely not.
I have some upsetting testimony. I don't know if you know this about me.
Oh, no.
So, of course, I grew up here in Sacramento.
Yes.
I did move out to San Francisco. Uh-huh. I went to San Francisco State.
Oh.
I actually worked for Ayesha Curry.
Oh,
things got a little muddled for me. I'll just leave it at that. I know I'm going to get canceled, but I do have to stand in my.
I don't know why you said that on the air.
Trojan horse. That's what she was doing. She was just trying to get in close so that she could take them out from within. I respect it, Simone.
Yeah, but then exactly. I worked for the Currys.
And let me guess, the funniest thing happened.
Right back
you
away,
ended up liking them.
Yeah, they're lovely people.
See, that's the problem. That's how they sucker you in.
I beg your pardon.
That's how they sucker you in, Simone.
They're lovely, but not a Warriors fan. Back here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Moved back to Sacramento to work for the Kings.
Here's a question. If you are a true Kings fan, do you have to hate the Warriors? Like, let's say...
Oh, that's interesting.
Like after the Warriors beat... And actually... This goes back to the playoffs because I thought it was really interesting, the whole rivalry, not a rivalry thing.
Yeah.
Because after the Warriors beat the Kings, you had two teams that have given Kings fans nightmares going up against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers and Warriors. So my question was, who do the Kings, if besides them both losing, which is impossible, who would you rather win? And from what I saw, maybe it was just people being prisoner of the moment. I saw a lot of people that were rooting for the Lakers, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think it's just the modern day Kings fan has to hate the Warriors, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about it a lot, and it's not even necessarily even the on-the-court thing, but to me it's what you were just getting at with your friends and your family members. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the Golden State Warriors, through being successful, which is no fault of their own, it's what every team should aspire to do, it's more on the Kings. But the Warriors took so many potential Sacramento Kings fans out of this area. Not saying they literally moved them to San Francisco, but they took so many kids for the past 17, 18 years that, you know, should have been kids wearing De'Aaron Fox and Tyreke Evans and DeMarcus Cousins jerseys. And instead, the Warriors were the it team. They were the team that if you were in third grade and you said, I'm a Kings fan, you're probably getting roasted by other kids who are all about, you know, seeing Steph Curry highlights on YouTube and watching Kevin Durant knock down threes and win championships in San Francisco, in Oakland at the time. I think that's the reason why Sacramento Kings fans, like really, really passionate Sacramento Kings fans, should hate the Warriors.
Yeah.
It's not even necessarily a they beat us all the time, they sun us. It's the they actively took our fan base away and turned them into Warrior fans.
Right. And okay, so here you go.
Laker fans suck in general. That's why you should hate them.
Caesar 916 on the YouTube chat. I know a couple flip floppers.
Okay. Snip snap.
Annie Correa on the YouTube chat. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. My question to, I guess, Caesar 916 and to the other people, anybody that knows a flip-flopper. My question is, did they flop back? Did they flip back? Because now the Kings are kind of on the come up and the Warriors are just praying for maybe one more, and I don't think they're going to get it, right?
Was anyone at a Warriors parade and yet also took a picture with the beam?
I don't know why I laughed that hard.
Because you were, it was you, Simone. Because
Simone was definitely,
no, it was
you
now.
She was
cooking went to
at
a parade.
No, you went.
I actually saw
you, now that I'm remembering correctly.
I'm really upset. I think I went to one Oracle game.
Did you cheer?
Up in the bleachers?
Get out.
It was a Kings game. It was
Did you have on a half jersey?
No.
A half hat?
I didn't. And I've been to Chase Center, and I've always rocked the Kings.
Okay,
I'm Kings just saying.
Sometimes when
the work, you know, when you're working for the enemy, you gotta, you know, fall in line.
You gotta fall in line. Well, you know who doesn't? You know who doesn't fall in line ever? That's Draymond Green. And not. Here he is. I'm just kudos to whoever asked him the question. Does he regret putting Rudy Gobert in a chokehold? Here he is.
I don't live my life with regrets.
Crazy. Crazy.
Like I said before, I'll come to a teammate's defense anytime that there's a I'm in a position to come to a teammate's defense. That's what a team is. You stick together through the good and the bad. And I take that to heart. I take pride in being a good teammate. That's when I step in here every single day, that's number one on my list, to be a good teammate, number one. I think that takes care of a lot of things. So I take pride in that. And reflecting over on the whole incident, I think for me is you kind of go through the whole gauntlet of everybody having an opinion, and you listen to those opinions or not. Some people opinion I hear, some people opinion I don't. I think for me and going through it is like what matters to me, and what matters to me is how the people that I care about feel, first and foremost. How are the people that I care about affected? How are the people that I care about, what do they have to deal with? I think that's it for me.
I beg your pardon? What did he just say there?
What a word salad.
What did he just say? You know,
he said it doesn't matter what people think as long as people who he likes says that he's fine.
Yeah. But how does Draymond know that people are keeping it real with him? Right? Because he's Draymond, right? He's saying, as long as we're good, that's like saying, that you know, hey, just relax, right? You're relaxed, aren't you? Right? Everything's good, right? You know, like, that's what it comes off to me. I know we got to get to a break. We'll react to it when we get back. And we also have just some takes on the Kings being six in the West. Is it time to care about the standings? Is it still too early in the season? But yeah, hey, we're good, right? Okay, cool. We're good. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Talking Kings versus Warriors. Talking Niners versus Eagles. Huge week here in Sacramento in terms of the sports. And if you're into college sports, you also, and Cal getting a big win this past weekend. NorCal, right? I saw in the YouTube chat, hey, when we talk about Kings, Warriors, and still NorCal over everything. Got to beat those guys from SoCal whenever possible. And right now, the Kings are sixth in the West, right? Not great, but it's also early. Should we care yet? I don't know. And I guess, when should we start caring?
I would say overall, no. Of course, like, it's important to get off to good starts, but you know, the Orlando Magic right now are 12-5 in the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should expect that to remain the same, but I think it's important, even though, you know, these records ultimately don't matter. I think it's important to just talk about where these teams are at least heading. Like, clearly the Orlando Magic are heading in the right direction. The Indiana Pacers had a similar start last year as they did this year. Clearly that is a sign that when Tyrese Halliburton is playing, they're good. And I think the fact that the Kings at 9-6 right now, you know, whether or not the season goes to plan, I think it's a sign that the roster that they have, the collection of talent they have when healthy, which is key, is a winning roster. And I think that's important to know, because especially here in Sacramento, that just hasn't been the case every single time. And the Kings clearly, they've had a tough schedule, I would say, to start off this year. And the fact that they are above 500 and a couple games above 500 at that, I think that it's a sign that this team is, at the very least, and, you know, I wouldn't say it was that big of a question, but I think some did wonder. I would say this team is of the quality that they were last year, if not better. And that's the part that's still TBD, but I would say as of this moment in time, we've seen enough this season to know last year wasn't a fluke. It's not like the Kings are outclassed in this Western Conference, which was a big talking point from a lot of national people. I think the thing that we have learned so far through 15 games this year is the Sacramento Kings are a legitimate Western Conference team. Now, are they a contender? all that stuff still TBD, but they're at least rightfully so in this grouping of really good Western Conference teams.
Yeah, I think Family Schlegel on the YouTube chat makes a good point. If the Kings are six in the West right now with 10 road games and 5 home games,
right,
with only one Eastern Conference game, I'm cool.
And 33% of those games without De'Aaron Fox as
exactly.
well. So I think you can't be too upset.
Right. And as far as whether you should pay attention to the standings yet, I don't know if it's even a matter of paying attention to the standings as much as it's a matter of paying attention to the gaps, right? And making
right.
sure...
The tiers almost.
Yes.
How the tiers get established.
Right. Once there are teams that are more than probably 5 games back yeah. of other teams, that's when it's, okay, it's time to pay attention because you're starting to chase. Mm-hmm. When does that chasing begin? So if you're looking right now, you know, at the Western Conference, nobody in the top really 9, I guess put it to 8, the Houston Rockets are 3 games back mm-hmm. of the Timberwolves, that's the difference between first place and 8th place. Now, last season, there wasn't a lot of movement the whole time because it was a complete mess.
Right.
But you did have the first 3 teams that had separated themselves, or the first 2 or 3 teams that separated themselves, and then 4 through 8 was a complete mess, or 4 through 9. So it's when teams start separating, and whenever that is, that could be now if somebody goes on the hot streak. That
right.
could be in a month. So I don't think it's a matter of which game it's at. If somebody goes on a tear and is now up, if you're up by 5 games, you know, and whatever, if it's the 1 seed or the 2 seed, wherever it is, if there is a gap of 5 games or more, I think that's when it's time to keep an eye, because in this league with 82 games and back-to-backs and people got to get rest, especially with more games now because of the in-season tournament, it's not as simple to just say, okay, we're going to turn on the Jets and just catch a team.
Right.
It's how early on are you going to have to start relying
yep.
on another team to lose, which can happen quicker than you think.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm just looking at the records at this point in the season last year. And on November 27th, 2022, Phoenix was in first in the West at 13-6. They ended up, fourth or fifth in the
yeah.
in the Western Conference. Denver was second at 12-7. Memphis was 12-8. New Orleans was 11-8. The Kings were 10-8. They were the 6th seed. So, you know, there's still so much time, and you really can't determine how good someone's going to be, because even the Lakers I'm looking at this point now, the Lakers did have a pretty historic turnaround last year after, you know, their complete renovation
right.
of their team, of their roster. But the Lakers were 7-11 at this point, and you know, that's it. They ended up being the 8th seed and
yeah.
sneaking in via the play-in, but it's not completely over. But to your point, this is kind of the point in the season in which teams start to separate themselves, and while it might not be insurmountable, it's just a clear uphill battle to climb, which is not something you want to do as you're heading towards the chunk, the middle of the season where injuries pile up and, you know, day-to-day randomness happens. So the Kings, at the very least through 15 games, have done a good job of, again, just keeping themselves in the mix. And I would still say also giving them some room to still play their best basketball. You never want to be peaking too early in the season. And I think we've seen a lot of ups and downs, obviously, throughout this Kings season so far. So they've also let themselves get a little bit of grace room when it comes to room to improve. So that's,
yeah.
you know, in a weird way, I would say that's also a positive, that I would not say we have seen the best of Sacramento Kings basketball for this season yet.
No, not at all. And I think we've seen, but you could say that about a lot of teams.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
And I would say that you can be happy about what you've seen from the Kings, and, you know, we've tried to, whether it's the benchmark win or a benchmark game or a measuring stick game
right.
or whatever it is for tomorrow night, when you're kind of grasping at things to figure out what matters and what doesn't throughout the course of the season, you have to include this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to include this when you're discussing games that matter for the regular season.
Yeah.
So
throughout the year. Yeah. Like at the end of the year, we're probably going to reference back to this Tuesday game in some form of, whether it be the Kings winning and saying, oh my gosh, yeah, the Kings already showed that they can, you know, win in a playoff type atmosphere against a team that is someone that is a rival or whatever you want to say. That's a big win. Or if they lose, we can point back and say, look, that's an important game this year that the Kings didn't meet that level of expectation. So yeah, I would definitely think Tuesday is, it's going to be an interesting one for sure. I mean, just what ends up coming of it is going to be really, really big. Like, yeah, if you want to call it a statement or a measuring stick game, it's definitely a game that's going to be something that we're going to reference back to the entirety of the year.
Yeah, and look, the in-season tournament was one of those things where the Kings, they broke that streak of 16 years and they get into the playoffs, and now you have an opportunity, and I know you're somebody as a Kings fan that, hey, a win is a win, and a lot of fans were going back and forth about this in-season tournament and whether it's a money grab or should you be happy about it or care about it. But if your team is in has an opportunity to win anything, right, that anything of note and be the first winner of something, I think that a lot of people that – does it mean as much as winning the NBA championship?
No. Of course not.
But it's okay to care about this, right? The Kings, they are a team that should care about this. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to that Steve Kerr quote after the break, but the Kings should care about this.
Absolutely.
These teams, not to belittle it, but the Warriors can't really afford to. Mm-hmm. They don't have the horses, right? They're just trying to get through the season in one piece, right? The Kings, they can handle this. The Nuggets, a little bit interesting. How much do you care about it coming off a title?
Right.
Right.
And Jamal Murray's not playing for them now.
Jamal Murray's not playing.
He might be coming back soon.
Exactly. But. So the Kings are one of those teams that, and that's why our own Whitey Gleason had the Kings picked to represent the West in this in-season tournament. So why not? Why not? Yeah. It gives you something to watch. It gives you bragging rights on something. And
as a coach, it's also a great thing to be able to tell your team, like, hey, like we've shown the ability to win and rise to occasions. And, you know, in a tournament where everybody was kind of gunning for the same thing, we were the best team in that. Like, I think that's when you talk about going into the playoffs and things to rile up your team or just things to look back on to feel positively about. Clearly winning the in-season tournament, it would be something that you could use for your team. Like it's a motivational piece and something that you can say when things are at their lowest. No, I know that we're capable of pulling ourselves together because we've achieved X accomplishment.
Styles and Watkins got to get to a break. When we get back, is De'Aaron Fox a legitimate MVP candidate? And we will have those Steve Kerr quotes for you as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.